show that knows its limitations.
You'll learn to control that.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time to head on to the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Chat with our most rhythmic guest, our good buddy Jay Layman, the former Illinois linebacker and BTN analyst joining us. Jay, how you doing, man? How you coping with pandemic that we're in the middle of right now, pal?
Pandemic pandemonium. I mean, I guess as good as I can handle, although I'm getting stir crazy, and the lack of sports in spring football has got me a little frustrated.
Jay, I mean, when I think of you, I think of pure energy. similar to that of our friend Anthony Schlegel, just, you know, a guy that loves to be active, just constant energy ball.
I've actually never met Schlegel. You know, I played against him. You know, probably the shortest, most unathletic linebacker ever to unathletic looking linebacker. And I love this. He looked unathletic, not that he was, to ever start at Ohio State. Usually you guys look like Greek gods over there. But Schlegel, bro, he was tough. I give him credit, you know.
He it was
because I had a BMW too, a body made wrong, and you know, that's what Coach Zook used to say. He used to tell me, "Layman, you're like a BMW, man." He's like, "It's a body made wrong," and you know, so I had really long, gangly legs, was not quick. Schlegel was like on the opposite spectrum, was squatty. Well, you know, like you and all these other guys are just like chiseled out of stone. You know, Marcus Freeman who played and all the other linebackers. Joshua Perry, who's huge. Like, it's like, you guys are like ripped. But never mind. That's a side note on Schlegel. If he's listening, love him. Love his game. Was not a knock on him. He is my guy. I never met him, but the dude could hit. I know that.
You'd love him, for one. I mean,
yes, he would. There's no question.
I mean, right now, he, you know, you'll follow him on Instagram, and he, at the end of the day, does his, like, deadlifts and some Carhartts and a pearl snap. He's one of a kind. I'll say this. Your body was made better than Britt Miller. Let's just go there.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, no, Britt Miller. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, Britt Miller. He always said, "Man, I had a tummy since he was born." He said, "So, you know, had that belly." But
yes.
The guy could run. I tell you what, great special teamer in the league. Great special teamer at Illinois, and a guy that went from, you know, linebacker to fullback in the league and just said, "Okay,
yes,
I'll do it," and played 4 or 5 years. You know,
no doubt. What do you do right now? Like, to stay busy. Like, what are you? You know, what is it like in Illinois right now? And because I know here in Ohio, we've been locked down for a while. Believe March 15th, something around there, Bo. I'm not really – it's kind of all the days blend together.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What's it like, been like there in Illinois?
I think in the central part of the state, it's a little bit more relaxed than Chicago, which is not a very good situation. My brother lives up there, and it's just like they're not actually moving out of their house. You know, it's like they go to like the grocery store like once every 2 weeks. So that's kind of a tough situation. For me, I'm staying busy, hanging out with family. I'm the PE teacher for my kids. So, I mean, we go out and we're allowed to go outside. We just can't go to, like, public parks and play in the playground. So I'm doing that. My wife's homeschooling. That's been an adventure. And I am in real estate, so real estate has been deemed an essential service. So I can actually go out and show homes. That keeps me a little bit busier. But, man, I'm hurting for stuff to do for sure.
Yeah, Jay Layman, our guest, BTN, former Illinois great, joining us. One of the things that is happening is recruiting, and Ohio State is just killing it in 2021. And we've kind of gotten to the point here the last few years with Ohio State where they seem to be lapping the field in the league. And it's probably been a slow build with Urban. I think kind of the downfall of Michigan helps that as well. I would put this to you. If you were the coach, and let's just use the two programs who have this most similar natural resources in history, Michigan and Penn State. And I think Franklin's a lot closer, obviously, than Michigan is. But if you were heading up those programs and you were staring down the barrel of this Ohio State behemoth that Ryan Day and the Urban's infrastructure guys who remain are building, how would you combat it?
Well, number one, I might look at – I mean, Franklin was rumored, just rumored, this was never confirmed, that maybe USC would like him and whatnot. And, you know, I certainly think it's easier to get to the playoff in the Pac-12 than in the Big Ten East, number one. Now, that might sound like a cop-out answer, but that's just the truth, okay? On the other end, you know, let's talk a little history. You know, about the time that James finished up at Ohio State, the Big Ten had all kind of shifts happen. that led to programs being more powerful than they historically had been. So whether that be Lloyd Carr leaving and Rich Rod coming in, whether that be Ohio State with the Jim Tressel stuff that had an off year, one off year, right, 6-6, whether that be Penn State kind of falling a little bit in, with the scandals there with Sandusky and whatnot. And really it led to Michigan State having a great 5 or 6 year run. It led to Wisconsin winning a couple of Big Ten championships and led to a lot of parity. And what I see now is that it's becoming, the Big Two and Little 12, in my opinion. Maybe not to the degree it used to be the Big Two and Little Eight, but what I see is Ohio State is the Big One and Penn State's trying to catch up. So that's a little history lesson. Now back to what you talked about, those two teams do the best job of recruiting nationally. Ohio State, far and away, the best national recruiter in the Big 12, no question. Penn State's trying to catch up with that. And I think Penn State, I do like Sean Clifford. I like that. But until they have a difference maker at quarterback, and they did have Justin Fields committed early on, right, I just don't think you're going to be able to compete at the level that Ohio State is competing at. So it starts with the quarterback, number one. And number two, defensively, under Urban, they were decent. But last year, they were fantastic. So they've got to start getting some of those players. I think Larry Johnson is a big linchpin in that whole thing. You know, he recruited for years that DMV area, Virginia, Maryland, D.C., and him and Mike Locksley are considered the premier recruiters in that area. Larry Johnson at Penn State for years got a bunch of players. Now those players, Chase Young, Dwayne Haskins, have come out to Ohio State. And I think that could be the difference in this, is Larry Johnson.
That's a phenomenal point. Jay, do you think that the conference talent-wise is better now than it was when we were there? Because I'm trying to think of, like, who was really bums when we played. And Minnesota struggled under Brewster. Indiana we never really took seriously. But I always felt like, gosh, when we had Penn State, whether they were coming here or we were going there, we took them seriously. We took you guys very seriously. You guys obviously beat us in the shoe. I don't have to remind you of that, as that awful picture of you and your mop of hair, you know, on the shoulders of a teammate getting paraded off.
The one thing Illinois can be proud about, so just let us have something.
But where do you think the talent level is compared, right? Like when we played to where it is now? Because I think Urban, when he came here, really shook up the Big Ten as far as saying, hey, we got to recruit better. We got to, you know, all this, and kind of raise the level of everyone. But do you think the talent level in our conference is better now to, you know, go toe-to-toe with a conference like the SEC? Because when we were there, buddy, like we got beat bad by the SEC twice, got beat bad by USC even when they were rolling. But I think, like, overall, maybe the talent level is better from top to bottom.
I would 100% agree that it's better. I also think the offenses have caught up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I love Jim Tressel, but, you know, the Tressel ball just probably wouldn't cut it today.
How many powers did you see when you played us, huh?
Oh, my gosh, man. I mean, all the time. The guy loved powers and field goals, love one back power, all that stuff. Anyway, but, you know, the offense, I think Urban Meyer accelerated that. I think Jim Harbaugh added on to that. And what I feel like is, like, you look at Michigan State, and Michigan State, before Urban Meyer really established himself, I know there was the fluke game. I know Michigan State fans hate it when I say it, but that 2015 game was such a fluke, where Michigan State beat Ohio State in the rain, because that team was so unbelievably talented, that Ohio State team. They got it done. They won. But what I feel like is, like, Michigan State represented the old school way of Big Ten football. Defense, run the football, that Mark D'Antonio won as a D coordinator at Ohio State, and then brought it to Michigan State. Really had all that success when all that upheaval in the conference was going on. But as stuff started to really shift into ultra drive, into the era of spread, tempo, run pass option, what we saw is these teams like Ohio State, Penn State, actually started to be able to compete, I believe, with the SEC teams. We saw that in the Bama National Championship game. We've seen that in other games as well. So I do think it's a better, deeper conference. I also think that it's more modern, and they're attracting people, skill players especially, that are actually doing quite well at the next level. So it shows you the talents there to compete head-to-head.
Jay Layman, our guest. Jay, I'll get you out of here on this one. Is there something that you've done with your kids or your family that you haven't done or haven't done in a long time due to living a normal life and now in pandemic that you could pass along to our listeners that'd be like that you think would be a good idea or something that's been a hit that you've done with your kids?
Well, I don't know if it's a good idea. I got my kids on Monopoly. And Monopoly is a never-ending game. But here's what I learned. Hey, listen, guys, we're going to do 6 or 7 rolls a night. So I got a daughter and a son, you know, 5 and 8. You get 6 rolls a night. So they, before they go to bed, they each get 6 turns. And it's a never-ending game. I keep it set up. The banker. I make sure that everybody – it's like a tie at the end of every night, right? They work on their counting, so it's like – it's my math, right? They work on their real estate acumen. And so six rolls a night, you can have Monopoly last a month, which we are on like, you know, week 2 or something. So it's right. Not even close to being done. So the never ending game of Monopoly, you set up the game once, you do it after dinner, then they go to bed and they have loved it. I don't think they
awesome.
Understand half of it, but they love it.
That's fantastic. Jay, stay safe. Stay healthy, buddy. Appreciate your time as always.
All right. See you guys.